Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads and Questions and Answers, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Come closer to God. And austerity implies all those steps. Raj Yoga gives you the steps. Yamas and Niyamas, do's and don'ts. An ethical foundation. Asanas, doing your control of the body by various exercises. Pranayam, control of your breathing. Then comes Pratyahar, ability to withdraw the senses. To this extent, it is called Vahiranga, externalized practice. Now, when you enter into mental process, concentration, meditation, Samadhi, that's real, more direct movement. But all these are steps, allegorically. Through these steps, you move up to the divine realization. In different contexts, the steps are described in different ways. For example, in Jnana Yoga, the steps are, first step is you are qualified, develop qualifications of an aspirant. It's called Shubhecha, you develop aspiration. The next step, you develop Vicharana. Mind becomes reflective. By Vichar, you are able to disperse your stress, your negative sentiments. And of course, you move towards a profounder reality within yourself. Third step, Tanumanasi. Mind does not carry the load of attachment, hatred, egoism, pride. All these become thinned out. Raga, Dvesha and Ahamkara. Raga is attachment, Dvesha hatred, Ahamkara is egoism. These begin to, they become thinned out. And that leads you to Sattvapatti. Mind becomes filled with the light of self. Mind that has been holding on to names and forms due to illusion. Now, those names and forms move away. And mind itself is like a cloud. Once the light of knowledge passes through it, mind becomes increasingly desireless, increasingly thoughtless. A cloud that is increasingly moistureless, vaporless, that cloud doesn't exist. Therefore, your attainment is in the terms of peace beyond your imagination. Silence sings the best song, stillness, eternity. That's the language of coming closer to God. In a very simple way, just as sleep enfolds you and you are very relaxed. Divine touch enfolds you and you are the best. Big difference in from sleep to Samadhi. In sleep, you go there, come back as you were before. Very little change. But through enlightening process, you are going on, continue to hold your mind to that state of stillness. You go on asserting, remembering, I am not the body, I am not the ego. You go on asserting, I am eternal. Shuddhosi, I am pure. Buddhosi, I am enlightened. You go on asserting God is with me until the mind has become free from all the desires and impurities. And until, and as that develops, you are getting the same experience as you had in absolute sleep, profound sleep, but with another dimension to the sleep. This other dimension is absolute joy and absolute awareness. When you get up from sleep, always say, "I slept soundly," and then immediately say, "I knew nothing." Change the tone from enlightening experience. You will say the same thing, "I knew nothing." But not that way. "I knew all that. All that is to be known in past, present and future. I knew the whole ocean. I know the whole ocean. I am the ocean. Nothing exists." The movement towards enlightenment is a progressive move. To the extent you progress, to that extent, the best in you begins to unfold, like a tree that blossoms and wafts fragrance. Likewise, you begin to waft the inner fragrance. And once you become aware of that process, your mind is no longer involved with how long will it take to attain enlightenment, when will I attain enlightenment, oh God, how long will you keep me in hell? All that doesn't exist. Ya pranena sambhavati aditi devata mayi guham pravishya tishthantim ya bhute vyajayata etad vaitat. He is born along with all the pranas and was born along with all living beings. Allegorically, it is not him to be born, but if you are moving towards enlightenment, you begin to realize the pranas, the vital forces that flow in you. They are waves of universal prana. So by allowing your vitality to be recognized as in harmony with cosmic prana, all these words I have said, they can be easily understood. Suppose you relax yourself. Watch your breath. As you are breathing, mentally say, "So." So means that. When you breathe out, "Hum, I am." That I am. So far you are saying. The actual teaching is feel. With every breath, you are in communion with the entire world of life. The whole universe is, and you are in communion. That's the reality. The air is not yours. It's coming into your nose, tickling the air within you, that you belong to the universe. That's the advanced definition of pranayama. It is through that type of pranayama to another step, allowing your mind to feel its union with cosmic mind, a result of profound surrender to God. Ego begins to move away. Thoughts that come in your mind, they are God's thoughts. Your will is God's will. God has entered your heart. So if you are following these steps of pranas, as I have described, of mind, and enlightening your intellect, as you are moving like in steps, God has entered your heart through these steps, and your heart is like a cave. Now through these steps, follow, by practicing these, you go into the depths of your heart, you meet God. But to the great surprise, God alone is. Whoever knows Him attains Brahman. This is verily that. And with this I am concluding. Om Shanti Shanti.
Good evening, Swamiji. Every year I ask you this question.
I forgot about it.
So, I was traveling and couldn't make it in for the month of January, but here I am. In the world of cleaning up my karma with all of the things I consider not so nice and kind that I've done in my life, am I ever going to succeed to clean the karma that the rebirthing of that cycle will not return?
You have to find a good detergent. That detergent is bhakti, devotion to God. The more devotion, surrender, the more you practice integral yoga to let your heart open to divine love, then you don't have to calculate how many karmas. Karmas can be endless, like the whole ocean. But God's grace can dry it up within a moment. So don't go after cleansing every karma with a wrong detergent. Hand is coming about there.
I don't know if I understand this correctly. Probably I'm very ignorant, so, you know, bear with me. Yeah? Okay. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do I understand that karma is your destiny? And if it's your destiny, how can you change it? Because what's going to happen is going to happen.
Both terms are relative terms. Destiny is what? When we talk of a destiny, it means soul's destiny to attain God realization. No other destiny that we know from a spiritual point of view. What you are is a result of your karma. If you consider this as being your destiny, then yes, karma has made it. But you have the ability to change your destiny. Change your karma and your what you call destiny will change. But the goal is neither karma nor destiny, be one with God.
Which is very difficult.
No, which is very easy. When you go to sleep, you slip into sleep so easily.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Swami, we have talked about Swadharma. So I have this idea in my mind, and I just want to know that it's right. You can view karmas as a way of either negative or positive karmas as a way of just life. You encounter situations, positive or negative, and you just handle them with the most you can do. So you don't have to be so taken by it.
One must perform one's swadharma. That's what scripture says. But that shouldn't become a complex or a difficult situation. It simply implies certain duties present themselves to you. It's like a river flows. And each time you enter the river, you don't think of what it was in the past and where it is going. Karma is like a stream of karma. You never know what are the duties you have to do tomorrow. They will come automatically like a river flowing. But it becomes your swadharma when you don't contradict it. You don't develop something and opposing that it shouldn't have come to me, it should have gone to my neighbor. If my work has been comfortable to me, how wonderful it would be. All that, I'm just trying to dramatize it. Consider whatever situation has come to you and you are facing it. Now face it bravely. Make it as much as offering to God as possible. That again you don't go on saying, I'm offering to you God, I'm offering to you. An inner attitude of not complaining. An inner feeling that even this, if a situation is difficult, repeat the mantra, even this will pass away. But each time I have faced a challenging situation, I become stronger than before. Each time the moon emerges out of a dark cloud, shines brighter. So, deep down there is no complaint against situations, duties, works, If you develop that type of idea, then you are becoming a karma yogi. That's what we mean by doing swadharma. And swadharma becomes more powerful when your goal is not a pleasant reward, because I'm doing your swadharma, oh God, therefore, but rather, swadharma for moving towards God, to be led by God more and more, then becomes niskamya karma. You are doing swadharma leading you to purity of heart. It's opening niskamya. All ego-based desire moves away. And that makes your intellect shine. So that's the idea. However, when there is a choice of karma, certain things are given to you and you have choice, then always choose things that make your heart magnanimous. Good action. Be good, do good. That's the basic philosophy.
Swamiji, how are you? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, they describe, I guess, a realm or a planet, Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an allegory for...
Allegorical. Kuntha means thwarted. Vaikuntha means unthwarted. Kuntha means ankush. Somebody has put a nail on your head, but you are seated on a throne. All worldly attainments have a nail on the head. Ankush. Sankusha tripti, nirankusha tripti. People become satisfied, they are very happy. One little defect, a nail. Because all that will pass away. But when you attain liberation, it is nirankusha tripti. Contentment that has nothing to restrict. Unthwarted, unrestricted, unbounded contentment. Therefore, it's called Vaikuntha. Liberation is not going to a star.
Hello, Swami. I have what is it that is keeping us from allowing us to be completely devoted or immerse ourselves in what is? Is it?
Now, let me dramatize something. A child comes to you and becomes very loving, looks into your eyes and says, "What is it that's not making me grow like you?" What answer will you give? No, again, coming to again the practical way to understand, you have all the potentiality to attain enlightenment. Once that interest has developed, then all that is needed is to get satsanga, try to understand what are the things you have to do. Just like a student, he wants to study certain subject. Then, once that interest has come, he must go to a proper school, have a proper teacher, follow it. That's the only thing restricts him if he doesn't follow his interest.
Thank you.